Micro is here, right?
So there's that.
Right. And then let me read the rest of your guests. Allison, you didn't book anybody else. This is it?
Oh,
what
boy.
The hell? You, no oh, wonder you don't boy. Get any raises.
Don't worry, Allison. I brought my B-minus game. It's going to be amazing.
Well, you better have. He's the CEO, host, narrator, and executive producer of How America Works on Fox Business, and the star of Something to Stand For, which I got a screener for, which is so cool because it evaporates. It evaporates in three more days. So you didn't trust me to say, if I send it to Brian, he won't share it and hurt the box office.
I know that you need a deadline. That's what I know about you. So you get 3 days.
I think the 26th. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I couldn't even see a calendar. I got so nervous. And I go, you know, I got to watch this. And I watched it. And it was one of those things where I watched it all day. Uh-huh. So I watched in the beginning. Then I went to work out. I brought it into the gym. I watched in the gym. And then I put it in the car, and I just thought it was, you know, because I love history.
Uh-huh.
And it is so good. It is so entertaining. Thanks, it is so interesting. And then to somebody who did 56 What Made America Great and tried to change them all, off the charts creative.
Thank you. I mean, I thought you'd like it. And in fact, you know, there are 9 stories in there. They're all these short mysteries. And one of them was actually inspired by you. I took a deep dive on the topic. It's a difficult film to promote without giving things away, right? Because all the stories are designed.
Could I tell you what book it is? Or should I not?
I don't think you should.
Okay.
I think we should just talk in a kind of good-natured code about this movie for a while.
Perfect for radio.
Yeah, it's the theater of the mind.
Right.
Folks.
Hi, we'd like to confuse the listeners and make sure you don't come back tomorrow. And Mike Rowe moves on to one of his myriad of projects, and Brian Kilmeade stuck with a show that turned off all our listeners.
Still taking the stairs.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Can't be confirmed, by the way. No witnesses. Because
really?
Nobody takes the stairs. So I have to go by myself.
You know, my friend Michael Easter, who wrote a book called The Comfort Crisis, has created a thing called the 2% Club, and he sells these hats just say 2%. And I'm like, what is this? And he says, 2% of the people in the United States, when given the choice between an escalator and a flight of stairs, will take the stairs. And those people invariably live better, live healthier, outperform, out-earn everybody else. So you're on to something.
Right. I'll tell you, I do the stairs.
You said doo-doo, by the way.
Right.
Let it be made clear. You just said doo-doo on your own show.
I'm allowed to. I'm pretty sure. And by the way, Eric is behind the board. You would like him. Probably better than me. And he would have knocked that out. So you don't have to tell him what to do. You don't have to always be in charge.
I'm just saying. Man says doo-doo and what appears to be prime time. Somebody ought to not only not cut it out, but maybe cut it into the open.
Since you came back, we've added Richmond, Virginia, nice. WRVA.
Great.
We've added WTIC in Hartford and KLAF in Dallas.
That's a big one.
And we're about to add Hawaii. And right away, Allison, you're thinking market visit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
You've got to go to Maui right. just to let them know you're serious.
And they're going to want an A-lister to come with me.
Well, sure.
Right.
Sure.
Do you know of any?
I can make some calls.
Yeah, if you don't mind. So I want you to hear, we have a lot of news to talk about, and there's a lot going on with the blue-collar economy especially. But I want you just to finish this up to understand. We're coming up on year 250 of America's birth. Mike Rowe, in my opinion, like me, is a little concerned about the lack of patriotism in our country. I think things are beginning to switch. Here's an example of what you see when you watch his movie, which evaporates for me in 3 days. Cut 31.
My name's Mike Rowe, and this is Something to Stand For, a film that celebrates a few extraordinary Americans who risked everything to build the nation we call home. Americans who gave us something to fight for, something to be grateful for. And today, all these years later, something to stand for.
I'm about to take a trip to our nation's capital, not too far from where I grew up,
to reacquaint myself with the memorials and monuments built to honor the people in this film. In other words, it's a field trip.
And I'm glad you're along for the ride.
So we got a sense of that. I mean, it's built for video, but a sense of what you're doing. So it's an hour and a half?
It's closer to 2 hours in total. It's 9 individual stories, all written in the style of Paul Harvey's old radio program, The Rest of the Story, where you learn something you didn't know about somebody you do. So essentially, it's 9 mysteries rooted in history, brought to life with some pretty elaborate recreations that, by the way, were all filmed in Oklahoma. There are 300 actors in this thing. They're all from Oklahoma. The crew, over 100 people, all from Oklahoma. There might have been two Texans, maybe. But this is not a Hollywood production. This is a message from the heart, and we wanted to deliver it from the heartland. And so we did. It's unapologetically patriotic. We did it specifically for Independence Day. And it's not quite a doc, right? And it's not your typical film either. But, you know, when I look around, I look at the headlines, man, we've talked about this before. The attack on our statuary, on our memorials, on our monuments, on the flag itself, it just demonstrates, in my mind, the disconnect that exists with so many people to the past that we all share. And the idea that we somehow can't celebrate the past or be proud of the past or be grateful for the past without also admitting that, look, we are a work in progress. Right. We're not done yet. And our country was founded by imperfect people, but we got ourselves so twisted up in this weird ball of guilt that we can't see clearly through the lens of history.
Yeah, we're so perfect now. Me and you and everybody else that we know is so perfect. And people you don't know, all right, that's why these statues really let us down on a daily basis. And you know what happened 2 weeks ago at the White House?
Yeah.
They surrounded the White House, tried to penetrate it, destroyed Andrew Jackson. Mm-hmm. They tried to anyway, filled it with graffiti. They tried to tear it down in 2020, right in front of the White House. They also went over Rochambeau's statue,
yeah,
which this key French general that without him, we probably don't win the Revolutionary War. And they did the best to defile so much. And then I was able to speak last Thursday at the National Archives. Right behind me is the Bill of Rights. Right behind me, when you walk in, is the Magna Carta.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable through the history. And then the archivist started off the whole event by saying it wasn't too long ago when they hit it with foam, it looked like dust. They want to entice you to get it wet and clean it.
Yeah.
That would have solidified it. So they had to painstakingly pull out all the powder, and they're going to put these guys in jail eventually when they're charged. But these are just upstart idiots who feel as though the country has let them down and global warming is the big thing. I just can't wrap my head around it.
It's a temper tantrum, and it's playing out across the country. And if it's not about Hamas and Israel, maybe it's about big oil. If it's not about that, maybe it's about reparations. You can fill in the grievance blank. But they just sprayed Stonehenge with orange
yesterday
paint, right? So, look, this is not to say that protesting is bad. We have the right to do it. And this movie is not an indictment on people on one side of
that's
the aisle.
That's not your style.
No, I don't. That's the last thing I need. But look, as we get to Independence Day, you know, rather than having a big left versus right or liberal versus conservative conversation, I think it'd be more useful to talk about American versus anti-American. That's a real thing now. And this movie, you know, was not made for anti-Americans. It was made because of them, honestly.
Well, I was playing soccer with my daughter yesterday, and one of the things, Megan Rapinoe, for a while, one of the better known soccer players in the world, she looks at me and she does it, you know, she's not big into history. She just says, why would a national team allow a player to take a knee? What does the rest of the world think when you take a knee during our national anthem? And that's just not her personality to bring up things in the news because I guess she's been inundated with it, or history. It really bothered her. And I wonder how many other people are bothered to the point where it's not cool anymore. And my answer is it's not. We're not sitting for the national anthem anymore. We're not kneeling. Things have gotten better. So I do think we went through the convulsion, which is why last week or 2 weeks ago was so especially revolting to see them go back.
Right.
Also, with your movie and movies like it, the more people are educated, the less they're going to feel compelled to do something to Andrew Jackson, to do something to Abraham Lincoln's memorial. Don't you agree?
Well, you have to start with curiosity. If you're not a curious person, then you've got a fundamental problem. It's so much easier today to judge than it is to think. And to be curious, you have to be willing to think, and you have to be willing to be wrong. You know, there's I could say the same thing about science.
Right.
But the idea of judging the present through the lens of the past, that's childlike. And Reagan was right. This happens every generation. You know, we are always one generation away. We need not to educate, Brian, because that's a nobody wants a lecture. Nobody wants a sermon. Nobody wants a lesson. You have to entertain first. You know that. You write books that do that same thing. You have to tell a story, and you have to do it in a way, I think, that is accessible. People have limited attention spans, more limited than ever. Most people don't have 2 hours to sit in a theater. But these stories were all written for the curious mind with a short attention span. They were all originally written for a podcast. Then they turned into a book. Then they turned into a TV show. Now they're becoming a movie because people still want to learn. You just have to entertain them first.
So, you know, I told you on stage, and one day I'm going to get you down there, I'm able to talk about all the history books and even the two sports books I did, The Games Do Count, It's How You Play the Game. I want to be inspirational, motivational, and patriotic. But I try not to make it a lecture. There's no teleprompters or anything. Try to move through the stories quickly. And I have people come up to me, and they're highly educated people, and they'll say to me, I never knew any of that. Why? Because you're a business major. You're a doctor.
Yeah.
How much time do you have time to spend in history? Do I need that as a requirement? I move on. For me, I can't wait for my history political science course. For doctors, people not science-oriented, or science-oriented or blue-collar, didn't want to really school wasn't their thing. And because they didn't pay attention in their teens, they're done. How many times are they going to go pick up a history book? So sometimes you could whet people's appetite to learn more. And I always ask, you have to be into science to be a doctor. I know you desert, but you don't have to be into history to love it, because I asked you two questions. Number one, do you like stories? Do you like two stories? Maybe three. There's three actually. Number one, what about stories about your country? They usually say yes to all three.
Sure.
Here you go.
Yeah.
This is your story, and don't tell it for the Harvard audience. Tell it for the everyday audience.
That's right, and if you can, tell it inside out. You know, don't start in the obvious place. That's what we used to do in school anyway. And so as a result, people understand that Fort McHenry was the site of a battle. Some people know it was 1812, and some people know that that's when the Star Spangled Banner was written. But most people don't know that the Star Spangled Banner was a drinking song called To an Anchorian in Heaven. It became a protest song.
Right.
It's the mother of all protest songs. But they don't realize that, because the symbology has evolved, and so suddenly people see the flag and hear the anthem and associate it with a different thing. But I think part of the confusion too today is that we are awash in symbols. Everything has become a talisman. That mask that we wore for a couple of years no longer really has anything, if it ever did.
Well, now what's it used for?
It's a sign. It's a thing people can wear to possibly express a set of beliefs. I don't want to get
in
anybody's head.
But yet I don't want my identity known, which shows you're a coward.
And there's that too. Oh, well, look, if you're talking about the business of protesting with a mask on, then it's incumbent on you to explain how you're any different from a Klansman. It's incumbent on you.
I hear you.
If you show up angry with a can of spray paint and your face is wrapped in a bandana or concealed in any way, you have to tell me how you're any different from a cross-burning bigot in 1930.
When we come back, a history study was just done. A poll was just taken. You'll be surprised how America views their Confederate past. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show, full hour with Mike Rowe. We'll talk about everything. Don't move.
It's expanding your knowledge base. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
From his mouth to your ears, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Mike Rowe's here, and he's got a new documentary. Would we call it a documentary? Call it a movie.
You can call it a movie.
All right.
It's not a doc.
He's a narrator, executive producer, star. of how America works. He's also, you see him in this brand new, I guess we can call it a documentary, Something to Stand For. It's a documentary like you've never seen before. It's got so many different elements and surprises, and it features a lot of you. And if you want to love the country more, you watch this. I saw this study out. So this big thing about taking the Confederate statues, I understand it. So they asked the American people, 52% support efforts to preserve the legacy and history of the Confederacy. 44% oppose such efforts. And that they all don't live in the South, in America.
Right.
We used to judge. We used to study. Okay, right. This is what he stood for. Let me learn more about this. I remember doing something with Lindsey Graham, and he looked up and he pointed to a Confederate statue. He goes, they were good people. They were just wrong. This is the society they were born into.
Right.
And we overlook Fort Sumter. And he goes, right there is where it all started. But we're able to tell the story because I could play off that statue.
One of the things that we might want to ask ourselves, right? I mean, it does require a bit of nuance, context, and perspective to look back and start making conclusions. But so, too, does it require those things if you look forward 150 or 200 years? I mean, nobody's got a magic eight ball, but what are our great-great-great-great-grandkids going to think about what we're doing in 2024? And fill in the blank. Like, how are we going to remember meat eaters, okay? Let's say we haven't eaten meat for 100 years, either because we've developed something that's so synthetically superior. So who knows what could happen to get us to that place? The question is, are we going to look back and go, you know, who was eating meat in 2024? Those
what were they
bitches,
thinking?
The
yeah, what were they
thinking?
It's a you living
know,
animal.
We better get I saw Barack Obama eat a steak once. We better get his statue down.
Right.
Right. How are we going to be judged today? I mean, it could be capital punishment. It could be abortion. Fill in your hot button du jour. And we're going to be weighed and measured somewhere down the road. And personally, I mean, again, I don't know, but it is a heck of a thing to look back at Jefferson and go, good, 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 good. Ooh, that was not good. Therefore, he didn't exist. Damnation memore, the Romans used to call it, you know,
right.
Where your statuary would be either disfigured or removed along with your memory. And so, look, Santa Anna said it pretty well, right? Those who don't remember the past are doomed to repeat it. But today, I would say that those of us who aren't connected to it, who aren't curious about it, we're just blind.
Right.
We're just blind.
And it's fun to study these guys. It could happen to you in your own life today, by the way. When we come back, Francis Scott Key Bridge is now in the news. Are they going to rename that? That's also part of your movie.
Wow.
And you're not going to believe it.
The Brian Kilmeade Bridge. I wonder what the toll is going to be.
Right. If they are thinking about naming it after me, how dare you leak that out? Mike Rowe.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow Podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.